Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on a very nice Friday morning here at Saratoga, right in front of Clare Court. You've seen horses working out behind us all morning long. That's the beauty of being here. We can see them coming in from the Jim Bond Barn and beyond in front of us. It's always great to be here on the backstretch, but particularly on a nice day like this. Nice day of racing ahead. The Amsterdam will highlight the card, but plenty more. Coming up on today's show, a little bit later on, we'll be joined by our friend Val Buck. Going back, she was a worker on the racetrack, did some work for D. Wayne Lucas and others, but now she's up in Greenwich. Her program is called Act Naturally, Retired Racehorses. She teams it up with some therapeutic programs, so humans and horses. Saw Val opening day, and I said, hey, we'll have you come in and talk a little bit about what's going on up there because we haven't had you in a while. And then towards the end of the program, Chris Engelhart. I saw he had a horse in yesterday, has some horses in today, so I knew he'd be around. And I know our audience plays a lot of Finger Lakes as well as the Niver Circuit. And so I thought we'd get a chance to have the patriarch of the Engelhart clan on, Chris Engelhart, a little bit later in the show. But it's a big show because I'm thrilled to have our friend Marshall Graham on. If you aren't familiar with Marshall, Anthony Mormito said it earlier, follow him on Twitter. You will enjoy the follow, believe me. A astute observer of the game on all levels. He's an owner, a breeder, a contest player, and more. And so again, Marshall, who spends the summers up here now, we say we gotta have to have him in, and today's the day. Marshall, good morning.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, happy to have you on. And for folks who aren't familiar with your background and whatnot, as I said, owner, contest player, so a good handicapper as well. Your background, your parents, your father, senator, your mother was involved in Washington, too. Give us a little bit of the background. And did you grew up?
So I grew up in D.C. So I was born in Bryan, Texas, but we moved up when I was five. My parents were college professors before my dad got into politics. So I grew up in D.C., and that's my connection to horse racing, right? I grew up in D.C. As crazy as it sounds, we didn't get cable television. District cable vision didn't start until 1989, until I was, almost out of high school. So I watched sports by reading the paper, and the paper had two pages on horse racing, right? Andy Beyer,
yeah.
Clem Florio, they had the charts, they had all the entries, and it was a numbers thing. I was always into numbers as a kid. A lot of boys get into baseball because of all the statistics. I got into horse racing. So I would scrape up 8 quarters and go buy the racing form from the drugstore, come up with my own little systems. I remember the sort of first horse I bet, a horse named Quail Ridge Swap. And so I turned 50 this year, and my brother, for my 50th birthday, commissioned a painting of Quail Ridge Swap. So I have now on my wall in my place in Saratoga a picture of not of any significant horse I've owned or, a horse that's made a big bet that I cashed. It's a horse that was a cheap claimer that won 25 times, raced 107 times on the Mid-Atlantic Circuit, named Quail Ridge Swap. In fact, the artist Michael Garrity, who I guess has painted the program a couple times, so he actually was the hot walker for Quail Ridge Swap, and so for him it was a labor of love, and he spent a lot of time tracking down old Winter Circle pictures because he's a perfectionist, just wanted to get everything right. My brother was like, just paint it, if he's a chestnut horse, but just paint a chestnut horse. Michael wanted to make sure that Pimlico looked right and that he got the horse correct. So that's my horse racing origin story. I've always been a better first, a horse player first, and that's why I love it up here. Been privileged enough to get into horses and be able to claim a few, done some breeding. Now I've been staying a stallion, Warriors Charge, we stand at an Irish Hill Century, but again, I love Saratoga, and have come up here for quite a while, and just privileged to buy a place a couple years ago. So I spend most of my summer here. I've been up here since Preakness, and I will actually leave next week. I'm on a Southern schedule, so it's back to work for me.
And let people know what work is. Rhodes College in Memphis. Talk a little bit about your work down there.
I teach at Rhodes College. It's a little liberal arts college, a lot like Skidmore. We have about 2,000 students, and I teach economics. I was previously chair of the economics department, and the one sort of privilege of that is I got to teach the economics of racetrack wagering markets. So basically a class on horse racing. And so there's a lot of, you know, the way I sort of justified it, maybe at least to myself, is that, you know, there's a lot of psychology, decision-making, economics, finance, all involved in handicapping and bet making. And now, especially with the legalization of sports betting and it becoming more prevalent, I feel very comfortable talking about both the handicapping side and the betting side. So we, you know, we do an econometric model of pace, and track bias. We talk about making speed figures. In fact, one of my questions on the midterm exam is I give them a card at Oakland Park and have them come up with a track variant. So it's a lot of fun. And I had, when I taught it last, which is spring of 2022, I had 74 students. So it was the biggest class at Rhodes College that semester. So now I was coming off my Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge win. So I think that, like, you know, I didn't publicize that, but everyone knew that. So the students were all thinking, well, maybe this is the key to something. And as we know, that handicapping takes a long time to learn. So we're just kind of scratching the surface with what we do in one semester. I mean, the kids, when I walk in the class, a lot of them, you know, don't know what odds are, right? So it's like we go to basic building blocks. I have a lot of students, you know, a lot of the sort of typical guy horse plays, potential horse players you imagine, but I get a lot of international students, a lot of women take the class. So it's a very fun group to teach, and I look forward to doing it again hopefully soon.
Where were you in the faculty in my Syracuse days? I would say I'd be out in Syracuse. I'd say, I'm a racing fan, and they would start talking about stock cars. And I said, no. It's the whole different thing. Let's start out, because I want to touch on a few different subjects with you, but let's start out on the racing side of things, the ownership, 10-strike racing. I do the handicapping show in the studio most of the year in the afternoon. I'm always pointing out when there are 10-strike horses in, because I think you're a very clever player of the game. I think you spot your horses very interestingly. It looks weather-wise, which is probably a good thing, maybe not for you in the situation, but you had a main track only entered today, looms boldly. I pulled up the Ontario County. You shipped them out to Finger Lakes in the last start. Looms boldly, the number one horse, is going to win very nicely that little stake out of the Finger Lakes. Talk a little bit about looms boldly, who I assume is a reference to the Pete Fornatale Twitter handle. Racing in New York.
We named this one after Pete. This is our Clay Sanders and I, who are the founding partners of 10-strike racing. We claim the dam, see the forest. In fact, it was one of our first horses together. It's our first winner together. And she actually broke down in a race at Delaware Park. They actually told us initially that she wasn't going to make it. We should put her down. But we saved her. Her dam is Critical Eye, who is a million-dollar earner and grade one winner. New York bred, right? They have the Critical Eye Stakes, Memorial Day, right?
Yeah.
So, she's been kind of, you know, our foundation broodmare, and she's thrown Critical Value, which is a New York bred champion 2-year-old filly. So it's been great to us. And this is a breeding to Golden Sense. This horse has been, again, Brad has done a great job with the horse, has multiple New York bred stakes winners, kind of out of conditions at this point, right? Won the Open Air of the Venn, right? And so, you know, now we don't really have conditions, and he's not quite fast enough to kind of make that jump into an open two other than, or to run open stakes. And so we have him nominated to, there's a stakes race at Monmouth Park, August 5th. I don't quite know. It's a 3-year-old, 6 furlongs. 6 furlongs is kind of his limit, but I don't know quite whether he fits. So, you know, I don't know whether we, you know, these young horses, they'll continue to develop. We don't want to give up on him because he's out of conditions. Maybe we'll give him the winter off and come back in the spring with his 4-year-old, a little bit more mature. But you kind of get to this point where you've won a few stakes. You've won the Open Air. The two other than's a big jump for a 3-year-old. Yeah. So he's got to get a little faster. We were kind of hoping that this race would come off. We were doing the rain dance last night and kind of hoping he'd come off. Yeah. He might fit, but still tough. Yeah. But we're excited about him. We think he's got a great future. He's already been very good to us. Again, multiple stakes winner.
Looking on Equibase yesterday, and again, just being in doing the handicapping show, you have horses really racing with multiple trainers all over the country. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, New York and the New York bred program is an important part of your whole ownership.
Yeah,
scheme.
I mean, we've always supported the New York bred program. I mean, now much more so. We're standing Warriors Charge, who is fourth in the Preakness, won the Razorback, kind of a horse that kind of got caught a little bit with the pandemic, right? He got really good right in the pandemic. So he ran like second in the Oakland Handicap that year. But that was a much tougher race because Oakland was one of the only tracks running. Yeah. So he's a son of Munnings. So we're hopeful that will attract breeders to him. Munnings now stands for 100,000. So he's a son of Munnings that won $1 million at the racetrack. He stands again at Irish Hill Century Farm. He covered 45 mares this year. So we're excited about him. I mean, if you're a New York breeder and looking to breed to a horse, I know there are a lot of good options, but we're excited about his future. We sent 11 of our own mares to him. And so, including the Dam of Looms Boldly. So she's got a Constitution by her side, and we bred to Warrior's Charge.
Nice.
And so so we're excited about him. But we always support the New York Bred program. It's a wonderful program for breeders. I think these state bred programs, they really encourage you to breed a sound horse, right? Because you keep getting checks as these horses run. In fact, I'm part of the PA Bred program with a horse that's a half to Looms Boldly named Grit and Grind, and he's a 10-year-old. And when he runs, I just keep getting checks, right? So it encourages you to breed a sound horse. And I think that's, you know, ultimately what we want, right? We want sturdy mares to get sound animals to that race repeatedly over our racetracks.
Yeah. I mentioned, you know, on the New York side, and I'm a voter in the New York Bred year-end honors. And so seeing your name in there, you're a player and have taken home, you alluded to earlier, the trophy as well. So congratulations there on the New York side of things. But I also, and I've kind of mentioned this as I talked about being around the country and other trainers as well, I pulled up just going back a few days ago, essentially, out at Colonial Downs. Alex June gets it done here, the number 10 horse. And I brought this one up because from what I read, first stakes victory for the trainer here?
Yeah. So the one thing that you know, sort of pride ourselves on with 10 Strike is we really, you know, try to give young trainers a chance.
Yeah.
Right? It's so hard to break in the game now. I think there are a lot of young, talented people. And it's hard to get horses. And so, you know, part of the issue, and I think it's a problem in the game, is that certain trainers just have a lot of horses. And it's hard to begrudge them, right? It's hard to begrudge owners who send them horses. But I do think there are a lot of young, talent trainers out there who are worth taking a chance on. We were with Brad Cox when he had one barn. And now Brad, you know, again, is multiple Eclipse winner. So Michelle Giangiulio, who trains for us here, Seafoam, who ran yesterday, we kind of an owner spot. If you saw the horse ran poorly, that was an owner spot. But she had her first win at Saratoga 2 years
ago. We had her on the day after that.
So, you know, we're very proud of her. She's up here. Lindsay Schultz, who is part of the Godolphin Flying Start program, who's an assistant to Tom Proctor and Shug McGahee. She talked to me a couple years ago about going out on her own, won her first race at Oak Lawn in the spring of 22. And then we claim Alex June last year. I think it was for 30. I never envisioned that he would be a turf horse. This is sort of all Lindsay's thinking here. But I thought he would be a dirt horse, would be a router. In fact, we were very excited. Last year we were in a race at Delaware. There was a mile and a half that rained off the turf. And we were big favorites. So I always dream of races like the Birdstone. So we're big favorites going a mile and a half, and this horse named Next beat one by 22. And now Next, I think, is just a stalwart in the division. I'm not sure people realize how good Next is. Yeah. I really think he's a
freak. That was a big performance.
It was a big performance yesterday, and I do think he'll sort of sweep the series and go in the aftercare. So Alex June, again, he's a Virginia bred. We've been sort of sitting on this spot waiting for it, and he ran great at Colonial. Again, proud to be part of Lindsay's success. And proud to be part of her first stakes win. I know that, I know that at some point these trainers will go off and do bigger and better things, and she'll always be able to say, hey, I got my first win for 10 Strike Racing, got my first stakes win for 10 Strike Racing. She'll find some big owners and get some nice yearlings, and hopefully win some bigger races, and at least she'll always be able to point to us helping her get started.
Yeah,
we're very proud of the work that they've done. And some of the other young trainers, Bentley Combs, who's won the Trails End at Oakland 3 times, Matt Shire, who's up here with horses. I've got a horse
game on the other day
tomorrow. So, again, there are a lot of good young trainers out there.
Yeah, and I applaud you for that because I think it is great. It's tough to break in. It's tough to get horses. But as I look at the races most of the year down there and see that you have the young trainers on, and again, I think that's good for the game as well to bring the fresh faces in. One more topic on the racing side before I hit on some other topics, because you just alluded to it. I pulled up going back to the end of the Oak Lawn meet this year. Hell or High Water is going to win the Trails End down there. What, third overall or third straight win in this marathonish meet-ending race with Hell or High Water?
So I love this race. Yeah. This is my favorite race. I think about this all year. I'm out there searching for a 10 claimer who can run a mile in three quarters on closing day, $125,000 purse. It's a starter 10. I guess I shouldn't give away my secrets. I'm already out looking for a horse. So this year, I actually had two horses for the spot, Tiger Moon and Hell or High Water. They finished 1-2. Hell or High Water is a really nice horse. He's coming off a little bit of a soft tissue injury. Okay. We actually were hoping to run him in Brooklyn, right? So he won the Trails End for Bentley Combs. Bentley, you know, I've won it 3 years. Each time with Bentley Combs, we had a horse that won it twice, Original Intent, who came up here and finished second in the Birdstone last year to Fearless. So, look, I love dirt racing. I love dirt route racing. I love a race like the Birdstone, which, you know, I almost think they should rename the Saratoga Cup because that's really what it is. But I love long-distance dirt races. These horses tend to get better as they get older, right? And so they tend to really hit their peak at 5, 6, and 7. And so there's a lot of good stamina stallions out there that if we really made a series for dirt routers, dirt marathoners, I think it would be good for the game and good for the breed. Again, encourage stoutness, encourage durability. And again, like Curlin and Tappet, two of the best stallions out there, how much better would they be with a marathoning series, right? I mean, you look at them, if there's a mile and eighth race here, you almost have to start by looking at, is there a Curlin in the field, right? Because they can run forever.
Yeah. So, but to win that race 3 years.
Oh, yeah. It's something I circled the calendar.
And
for.
I pulled up the Equibase yesterday and looked at the stats. Do you consider, A, Oak Lawn your home track because you're kind of right over there in Memphis? And B, you had a pretty good meet this year. What, 14, 15, 16 winners at Oakland?
Yeah, we had a great meet.
And what is a tough meet, particularly in the claiming
level. And we had a chance to win the title. Now, we got a little lucky. We had a horse like Hell or High Water won 4 times. So we had horses that were multiple winners. We never think about, and we'd love to win that title, but it's actually tricky the way we do things. In most states, they do it based upon your Equibase rankings. And we tend to have partners, especially on the claiming horses.
They got to figure that out.
In New York, they don't. In New York, they do it by whoever the head owner is on there. So we kind of got lucky and unlucky. The horses that all ran under just 10 strike, either that won, and then their horses with partners lost. So I had one partner that's like, I'm just unlucky at Oakland. We can't get any wins down there. So we just had a good meet. Kind of everything broke. I don't think we'll be in a position this year, but be in a position in future years to make that kind of run. We didn't particularly target Oakland, but my trainers, know we want to win there. We need a lot of partners down there. We send four trainers down there. Lindsey Schultz, Matt Shire, Bentley Combs, and Brad Cox is there. So, we claim a lot of dirt horses. We breed horses to run on dirt. So it just, everything worked out to where we had just a wonderful year. Again, winning 15 races, winning the Trails End. I couldn't ask for more. Yeah. Having a horse, we had a horse down there eyeing Clover that was, at least marginally on the Derby Trail. We had another filly, Exponential Star, who was, running in stakes races. We had She's Looking Lucky that we bought into privately that was also kind of on the Oaks Trail. So we just had a lot of fun this spring. And again, it's fun because we share it with our partners. It's Clay and I both live in Memphis, but it's a 3-hour drive. It's our home track.
Yeah. Well, Oak Lawn is one of my favorite tracks to play in the winter. I think you find a lot of value, and I think it's a lot of fun down there. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to touch on that. I could have you in here for an hour, but last night I was listening to, in prep for this, the podcast you did with P4 Natal, talking about the computer-assisted wagering. And your take is, they're okay. They're in the game. They're okay. There are things that maybe the game could do to juggle up and kind of take some of the advantages that they have away from them and give a little more towards the individual players, but just give us kind of an overview of it. A topic that I think has really hit with a lot of people over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I do think this is, ever since the sort of Financial Times article hit.
Exactly.
And we've had these big odds movements.
Which was eye-opening, I think, for a lot of people, the numbers in that article.
Yes. So in the great work Pat Cummings has done with the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation. In fact, Pat and I and David O'Rourke are on a panel at the Jockey Club Roundtable to discuss CAWs. In some ways, they're not going away, right? Because, what these teams do is they build models based on data, and they, these are not small endeavors, right? This is not, these are, teams of programmers race watchers, data analysts who build a model, and then they use that model incorporated with the public odds to bet at the last minute into the pools. In some ways, our parimutuel system wasn't built for people to come in the last minute and use their information to then move the odds. So where it has been problematic for everyday players is the odds movements. We just don't know the direction that the odds are going. You can sometimes guess, right, the money goes towards speed horses, but it's not universal. And so, you know, it can be very frustrating, certainly for people, newcomers to the game, to your horse goes into the gate at 8-1, and by the time it goes off, it's at 5-2. And the exactas are worse, right? So all they're doing is they're making the market more efficient. This game is tougher and tougher, right? We've got computers, we've got professionals, and then we've got, you know, our casual fans are sort of disappearing and moving towards slot machines, moving towards sports betting. So the game has gotten tougher. They've made it tougher. So, you know, what I would like to see is something that can sort of slow down the odds movements, both the win pool, which is what Naira's been successful at doing. Stronach Group has also, you know, implemented some things to try to change those odds movements, but in the exacta pool as well. Just the pools that we see, these big odds movements, again, make it hard to make decisions about betting, right? And look, these teams are very good. And, you know, what this also shows is that if you price correctly, right, these teams are heavily rebated, right? And that if you lower the price for people and they can win, their betting expands exponentially, right? So, you know, one thing that equalizes the field is to lower takeout for everybody. Rebates, in some ways, can't go away. And I think there's a misunderstanding about rebates. The rebates come from the ADW margin. So a dollar bet by a computer team is no different than a dollar bet by me off track, right? So I think there's some misperceptions about what these teams are contributing to the pool, to the purses. They contribute a lot. Yeah. They contribute the same amount as any off-track bettor, right? Because all the margin for rebates comes through the ADW margin. So, you know, I'm lucky and I'm privileged to get rebates because I live in a good state and I bet enough. But there are people who live in states where they don't get rebates or people who don't bet enough. Prices need to be lower to allow our players to win, and especially in this competitive market, right, against sports betting, against slot machines. We need the bettors need a fair shot. And I think that if we thought long run about it, if we were to lower prices, I think betting would expand. We certainly can't keep going the same direction we are.
Yeah, and you mentioned that in the broad, that then plays into the churn. And on the churn topic, I want your thoughts on penny breakage. Penny breakage, I'm surprised that once Kentucky kind of made it work, and clearly that has a positive effect on churn, just logically, and I'm surprised other venues haven't, other jurisdictions haven't picked it up.
I mean, I think the one thing about our game is they have to go through, you know, racing commissions and state governments, so it's not easy to make, you know, we think of things like, why don't they just drop takeout? Why don't they just get rid of penny breakage? Why don't they, you know, some of the coupling rules that they do? These are not simple changes they can do overnight. Yeah. So, I'm hopeful that other states follow suit, especially with declining field size. It makes shorter price horses more palatable. Hopefully it pushes more players, more especially newcomers to the game, into the place and show pool, right, because they're getting, you know, a little bit of a better payout. One of the things I think that's tricky in this game is that a lot of newcomers come to it and they're looking to bet a little to make a lot. But those are very tough wagers. I mean, these teams, I mean, they're obviously very good in the win pool, but they're excellent in this tri, super, pick five because they can bet efficiently, whereas, you know, it's hard for a pen and paper guy to bet as efficiently. And it tends to, you know, especially newcomers tend to overly spread, make mistakes, and that's just sort of feeding into the professionals or the computer teams.
Yeah, you were talking about that on the broadcast. I found that on the podcast. I found that very interesting, making the efficient ticket, whereas, yeah, you, the pen and paper guy, trying to figure out how do I put together the best ticket, how do I structure this, whereas the computer is just
bang, bang, bang. They're making bets 10 cents at a time in the superfecta, right? So that's hard to compete with, and they have the throughput to be able to make those bets in the last second.
Yeah.
So if you're betting the tri and the super, you need to think very carefully about how you construct your ticket, right? I mean, you can't be super spready, right? You got to have an opinion. You got to leverage that opinion. So I think that's key.
And you're
competing against the
teams. You were talking about your ticket construction. I found that all very interesting. And again, we're running late, but I could go on, and I have a whole list of things. But I do want to talk just briefly. Give us your thoughts, because you talked about the performance in the BCBC. We've been out covering the Vegas NHC a few times, and we've interviewed you out there. Which do you prefer, the live money or the mythical bankroll?
I'm a live money
guy.
That's
everybody. I mean, all the big players seem.
I mean, I just, you know, it's much more like betting the races. And so I like, you know, I'm maybe, if I'm lucky, good for one opinion a day. And I'm not a professional. And so I follow tracks like Saratoga and Oaklawn Park and Churchill Downs. And I play on the big stakes weekends, right? So that fits my style more. I'm always very impressed by the people who continually have success at the NEC, because that's a lot of racetracks and a lot of races. Yeah. And it's very hard to do. I do love the experience of the NHC. I've met a lot of my friends in racing through the NHC. It's a horse players convention. I had one good run there. I'm not even sure how, right? But I usually go there, and it's a very humbling experience. And I come back thinking how I can improve as a horse player. But the live money contest, I feel like I got a good shot in.
Yeah.
So load up for the day, take a shot, and see if I can get it done.
And I agree, NHC, earlier this year, I play online. I don't get to play as much as I'd like to, but I missed by like 80 cents making it out there. And a contest like a week before, it had to be like the last shot. But I'll keep plugging away. Just before I let you go, because you are obviously a very good player, what handicapping tools do you use to play on a day in and day out basis?
You know, I do some computer modeling.
Okay.
So it's also, I'm not a CAW, but I do some computer modeling, and you know, we actually go right through the front of the front, right? You know, I know these guys have back end Todax, go through the front. So I do some computer modeling. It's kind of fun watching, kind of seeing what the model does. But I'm also, you know, sort of in my horse playing, I use DRF, I use Timeform USA, kind of make my own speed figures not my own speed figures, I make my own pace numbers and you know, I use a lot. I look at other figures, but nothing. I mean, I look at races. I don't know. I'm not a sheets guy. I'm basically a DRF guy. See, I've got the DRF print there. That's kind of what I use. Just make some of my own numbers. But I'm a specialist. I like dirt races. I like dirt route races especially. So, you know, for here, it's four or five races a car, and that's fine by me.
Yeah. Very good. As I say, Marshall, I could go on and on and on, but we appreciate your stopping in this morning and hitting on a few of those topics. Again, we'll tell people to check out your Twitter feed, which is just your name now, right?
Yeah, I changed it to just my name, Trucks and Stables. I used to breed under, but now it's just at Marshall Graham. Easy enough.
And as I say, very fun to follow, because you dig into sides of the game and not do analysis and whatnot. Highly recommend it. But Marshall, appreciate it. Good luck playing up here. Good luck with the horses up here and beyond. And appreciate the stop by today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Marshall Graham, we'll take a break. When we come back, Val Buck right after the break. And a little bit later on, Chris Englehart. Stay tuned.
Hey, thanks again.
Turn your love of racing into savings with equine discounts through the NTRA. Purchase through equine discounts and receive great savings on well-known brands like John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Big Ass Fans, Farmers Insurance, and Office Depot. Join thousands of other equine members and support companies that give back to the sport we all love. Call 866-678-4289 or visit equinediscounts.com to start saving today.
Sometimes it pays to go with the flow, to check your worries at the door, to reconnect with your crew, to follow the thrills and the flavor, to roll with it and see where it takes you, to enjoy every minute to its fullest, and to dance like there's no tomorrow. You can do that here at Rivers Casino and Resort Schenectady, where the good times flow.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, hey, it's our friend Val Buck. I stopped by early in the meet, and I said we'll have you come over and talk a little bit about Act Naturally. Val, experience on the backstretch, some time with Wayne Lucas and more, but now right up in Greenwich with the Act Naturally program, therapeutic with the retired thoroughbreds, and so we'll talk a little bit about that with her. And Danielle Del Signor, part of the program as well, so we'll get a little info on what's going on with the retired racehorses and a horse-human bond, as it were. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Seth. Thanks for having us.
Happy to have you on board. And Val, just talk a little bit about, give folks a little bit of a rundown on Act Naturally and how you got it started and where you are today.
Well, after illustrious career as an exercise rider, I rode many of the champions throughout my generation for some of the Hall of Fame trainers, Bill Mott, Wayne Lucas, Todd Fletcher.
Name some of the horses you were on.
Rags to Riches, Lead Indian, Super Saver.
Yeah, there you go.
Charismatic. There were some good ones. But while I was riding, I always was concerned about the horses that just kind of fell through the cracks. Like, what happens to them when they leave the track? And eventually I became friends with Diana Pikulski, who was the co-founder of the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. She got me into paying attention to aftercare, and when I was done galloping horses, I started Act Naturally, which is a nonprofit organization. We're retraining, rehoming racehorses, and I also created our program called Hearts in Harmony, where we're working with people that are suffered through trauma, veterans, people that have just been through traumatic experiences, and the horses absolutely love their job. And I'm very proud to say that 2023 marks 10 years of our organization, so it's a big milestone for us.
Yeah, when you came in the other day, I said we haven't had you on in a while, but with the 10 years under the belt, very notable. And Danielle, before we went on the air, you're a Navy vet, and I know a lot of veterans are tied in with the program. Talk a little bit about that side of things.
We are, and I specifically am with an organization through SUNY Adirondack called Peer to Peer, and it's a veteran-based organization, and we lend help to veterans. We try and keep them involved in the community. We have resources for needs, wants, but also activities just to keep them a part of the camaraderie that they knew when they were in the military active. But now they're out, and we want to keep them going and keep them with positive things around. And we have veterans that have gone through the Hearts in Harmony with Valerie and myself, especially last weekend. And the experience for me was amazing. I didn't think it was going to hit me or be as dramatic as it was. And then right at the end, it was just like, My horse got me, and I lost it, and it was like just some emotions that have been, you know, inside for so long that you can't express in words, and you didn't even know that you felt, but the horse did, and the horse just kind of took me in and let me hug on her, and it was just, the whole day was an experience, and not just my experience, but seeing another gentleman, his name is Charlie, we'll leave it at that for right now, but he had an amazing experience. He was always very fearful of horses. His brother has horses. He's been around horses, but he wouldn't, but I'm telling you, he made a connection with Butter that day, and everybody had goosebumps, and he just was a totally different person. He was with her. They were like Mike and Ike. So it was really a very exponential experience. It's hard to even put it into words, but I told Valerie that I support her, we support her, and we were going to be a part of whatever she does, wherever she goes, and not only with just what she does, but the history and why she does what she does.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about that, the horse-human bond, because over the years I've had folks in here with similar types of programs, and it does seem like there really is a therapeutic connection between the horses and humans. So it benefits, obviously, retired thoroughbreds. It gives them kind of a second career, a second home, and then it benefits the humans as well.
It does. You know, I grew up a horse-crazy little girl outside of Philadelphia, and it's not horse country, but I was lucky enough to get a pony when I was 12 years old for Christmas, and not long after that, my parents split up, and I had no supervision through my teenage years. But my bond with my horse was so strong, and my life could have gone in two different directions. And that horse, she kept me grounded when I could have really been lost. And so it's that within me that I feel I have such a gift that I can share with other people. And, you know, through the pandemic, 2019 was a great year for us. Everything was going great. And then obviously, like the rest of the world, we had to take a hiatus. And it was a little bit of a struggle to get things going again. We got a significant grant from the Death Wish Coffee Company locally here in Saratoga last summer. They're doubling their donation this year because they believe in what we do. We're accredited with the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, the Thoroughbred Charities of America Helps, the New York Breeders Foundation, the Take Two here, you know, they're supporting us. We always need financial support, but to watch what happened with Charlie, I mean, we had an exercise early in the morning, and he just couldn't get close to the horse. There was something there. I don't think he was afraid of horses. There was a block, and he stepped away, and the exercise went on, and when everybody else was done, I reached and grabbed Charlie's hand, and I said, "Charlie, come here," and we did a breathing exercise early in the morning prior to coming out with the horses, and I said, I had Charlie's hand, I had Butter, my horse, in the other hand, and I said, "I want you to put your hand on that horse's shoulder," and he did. And I said, "Now I want you to breathe into the horse," and he did. I'm going to get choked up. And Butter reached his head and his neck around him and pulled Charlie in, and Charlie's hands just went up around the horse's neck. Yeah, I turned around, these guys are all crying. We're just,
we were like, that is amazing. And just to know some of the things that he has gone through, and I know that being a part of Peer to Peer, he's only really kind of scratched the surface. But it was just amazing because it was either going to go one or two ways. And he even told me afterwards, he said, "I was getting ready to bolt. My anxiety was getting to me. But it's once she grabbed my hand and when she said, breathe into the horse," he thought to myself, "Yes, ma'am." And he did. And the connection was just amazing.
It was really cool. And to see that kind of stuff and, you know, to help the people, our heroes that have served our country, is just, I'm grateful to be able to give this. You know, we're working together with Wellspring here in Saratoga. They help women who are victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. So, you know, there's just so many people that can benefit from this. So we're planning a gala in the spring of 2024. We didn't have time to get our act together this through the season, but we're planning a 10-year gala in the spring of next year to celebrate our 10 years and hopefully to just keep going, because it's just priceless with these. And Dan Allen said there's really no words to put together for it with what happens. It's amazing to see the impact that these horses are
and
making.
Going and visiting your website last night, you also have a nice little section of horses that have found new homes and kind of found the forever home,
yeah,
so to speak.
That's really good too. We had we're right around 50 horses that we've placed. We're a small organization. I like to be hands-on with the horses. I'm licensed in natural horsemanship. I teach lessons. I help people with behavioral problems. So as being an exercise rider for so many years and working at the track, I understand the thoroughbreds really well. And then the natural horsemanship component that comes in, where we can communicate with them in their own language and help. So when I send horses out, they're mentally, physically ready to go on to second careers. And through word of mouth, I mean, people come looking for horses with us. And, you know, we had one recently last year we had to take back because he had some physical issues that were stopping him from going on with what the owner wanted to do with him. So I'm grooming him to be able to be part of our program now with the helping people. And we had another horse return last year. His owner passed away. So it's good that we're here because we want to continue to be here so that something like that happens, we are a safety net and make sure that horse doesn't end up in a bad situation. And we really appreciate the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, the Take Two program here in New York, where they help the owners and trainers find us, the accredited organizations, to make sure that these horses are safe, because they give us their all. And, you know, I really feel like the racing industry could do more to help us. It's getting better all the time, but, we need finances. I can't. This all comes from here, but I can't do it without the finances. So we are a nonprofit. Donations can be made through our website, and we want to keep the hope alive. We want to keep going. So another 10 years. We're looking forward to it.
We have the website address as well. And again, just remind people, you're right up the road in Greenwich, right?
We are. Yeah, you can always come and see us. if you know somebody that could benefit from our programs, we definitely welcome people. And I mean, it doesn't have to be, being an adult, we've all dealt with trust, you know, people breaking our trust. We've all lost loved ones. There isn't anybody that can't benefit from this. So we were going to take the month of August off, but our friends want to keep coming. So we're going to keep the momentum going. And we have a full fall schedule planned, and we go right through to November when we can't keep going anymore. But I've been spending the past few winters in Ocala, Florida, and the people that I stay with down there want us to continue to do this down in Ocala. So hopefully we'll be able to make some magic happen down there as well.
Very good. And again, we just showed the website there, actnaturally.org. I visited last night. Lots of great information there. You can keep up with what's going on, but also make donations. And again, they're doing some great work, as you heard about this morning. So Val, Danielle, appreciate you stopping by this morning, and keep it up.
All right, Seth, thanks again.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All
right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Just watch the races when you can be in the middle of the action. For nearly 20 years, Bonaventure Stables' share-based ownership program has made thoroughbred ownership affordable for the everyday fan. Ownerships of 5 and 10% are now available on a nice selection of horses. As a partial owner with Bonaventure Stables, you'll enjoy all the benefits afforded every owner. Visit with your horse in the private stable area. Greet the trainers and jockeys in the paddock. And when your horse wins, savor the moment in the winner's circle at Saratoga, Belmont, Aqueduct, or wherever you bring home the prize. Based in historic Saratoga Springs, Bonaventure Stables has been training winners and creating memories since 2005. Learn more, see available horses, and meet our team at bonaventurestables.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised earlier, we are joined now by Chris Engelhardt. And I know a lot of our customers play Finger Lakes quite a bit. Sunday mornings until we came up here by phone, we were talking to Tony Kahlo and previewing some of the Finger Lakes action. And if you're playing the Finger Lakes, you are familiar with the Engelhardt name. And so I thought we'd get the patriarch of the clan. We've had Jeremiah here. There's also Jeffrey Engelhardt. But this morning, Chris Engelhardt. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Very good. Happy to have you on board, as I say, to talk a little bit about the clan. And give us a, because I saw you and your wife out in the paddock yesterday, and I've had Jeremiah on, and I know there's a brood there. How many kids? How many grandkids?
I have six children, my wife and I, and 13 grandkids now.
I know Jeremiah has the the brood there, and you had some of them, a good-looking bunch out in the paddock yesterday. Yeah. Talk a little bit about Jeffrey, Jeremiah, our trainers, between here and Finger Lakes and beyond. Your other kids involved in the game at all?
All of my boys are involved in the game. My daughter used to be. She was probably one of the best grooms I ever had, okay. But when she got old enough, she wanted to go to college and get a real job. So that's what she did. She made out very well.
Yeah, that worked. That works out as
all
well.
All my boys are got two trainers, Jeff and Jeremiah. My son Joe takes care of just about everything for me.
Oh, okay.
And financial, and does a lot of work with the horses with me too. Jesse is. He's not in the horses. He has a separate job now, but he does well enough that he can own them. So that's what he wants. And my youngest boy, Justin, is Jack's agent.
Okay. Out at Finger Lakes? Yeah, very good. And talk a little bit about that. When I get trainers in, because, again, at Saratoga, I always think we get people who are maybe new to the game and don't realize. And I think people think, trainers, you're dealing with the horses. But if you're a trainer and you've got a pretty big outfit, you're running a small business, essentially, as well. And you have to have somebody taking care of the books, and you're buying equipment and whatnot. It's more than just petting the horses and getting them out there for workouts in the morning.
That's where Joe comes in. Yeah. He makes my life a little too easy sometimes, but does a good job.
And again, I had you on because I saw you had the horse yesterday and horse today, so I knew you'd be in town, but you're based out in Finger Lakes mainly, but you do race a number of horses at the NIRA circuit. Yeah. Summertime, how often are you back and forth?
Well, during the meet here at Saratoga, I try to be here for all the racing days. I'll go home Sunday night or early Monday morning to be at Finger Lakes a day or two, but I don't have to be there. My wife pretty much runs everything there, so it works out. And I got a good assistant there also. So.
And same question on the rest of the year as far as Aqueduct and Belmont. Do you travel down there, or you just rely on the assistant?
I have a guy that's been with me 25 years, Manny Gonzalez. He's great and makes my life pretty simple. I like being home.
Sure.
I always say I love going down to Belmont for a day. The only thing I love more is turning around and coming home. So it works out real good.
And has the Rochester area been your home all your life?
Yeah, I was born in Canandaigua, right by
the way.
Okay,
yeah. So how did you get into the game?
Well, my dad, he was just a $2 gambler. He'd take me up after work for the last race, and we'd go up Saturdays. And I knew right away I wasn't going to be a fireman. I just fell in love with the game right away.
Yeah, very good. And yesterday I pulled up some of the stats going back maybe the last, 15 years or so. And again, on Equibase, these are national stats. 2019, 21st overall in wins. 2018, 13 in wins. 2017, 15th. 2016, you were 10th. And again, these are national figures, 14th in 2015. You go down, as I say, 2011, 6th, 7th in 2010, about 15 years ago, 5th in wins. So, been a pretty good career so far.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to have real good owners and a lot of really good help. All helps.
Talk a little bit about Finger Lakes and racing out there most of the year, because as I say, we bring Tony in on Sundays and talk Finger Lakes and the Monday and Tuesday card usually on Sunday mornings with Tony. Always fun to talk to Tony. But I think I know with our customers it's a popular product. We went out there about a year or so ago and did a remote broadcast. I'd never been there before, to tell you the truth. Uh-huh. And I was amazed at how easy a ride it is on the thruway. You pop off and you're kind of there, and you're really kind of, I was surprised, out in the middle of nowhere, at least from the direction I came. But it's a really nice little facility.
It's a nice little racetrack. It's in a great area. I mean, you got everything, cornfields and a lot of small towns, and it's it has so far been able to avoid the big city atmosphere and everything. So it's nice there.
I totally enjoyed it. And again, if folks are thinking on Monday or Tuesday, what do you do on dark days? Head out to Finger Lakes because it's an easy drive out there. But as I say, you're in town. You have a few in today. You had the one in yesterday. But I wanted to get some thoughts on Honor Among Men. And I pulled up a race from that one. going back to July 3rd up at the Finger Lakes. Couple of starts so far at the Finger Lakes. Two starts, two wins. The 7th at Saratoga today. Salty little race, interesting little event, but you bring in Honor Among Men. What are your thoughts this afternoon for that one?
Well, I would have preferred if it came off the turf, but I was hoping for a muddy track today or at least a dirt track, but it didn't work out. I don't really know how he'll be on the turf. And it's, like I said, it's not an easy race. So very fast horse. We'll see how far he goes.
Yeah, a lot of speed. And there is a turf race down the page a little bit, but that's going back. The horse was out in Southern California to begin the career, but as a New York bred, comes east, making sense. And give us your thought from a horseman's perspective, the New York bred program, particularly the enhanced purses for those horses up here at Saratoga.
Yeah, well, I claimed them hopefully for Naira, but mainly for Finger Lakes, you know, and that's worked out well. He's still got a couple of conditions left there that he's good enough for if he stays healthy. And but we wanted to try for the big money.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah. $95,000 up for grabs this afternoon.
Right.
And as they say, they're offering up those bonuses for the open company New York breds, and so that has to make a New York-based guy kind of looking at the condition book as well.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. As a trainer, how do you work the condition book? Because you have horses at the New York facilities, you know, Naira Tracks and Finger Lakes. So how do you look at the condition books for Finger Lakes and then the Naira Tracks, and then parse out where your horses are gonna wind up for their next couple of races?
Well, most of my horses just belong at Finger Lakes, the majority of them. Occasionally, very rarely I'll do something like this, bring a horse from Finger Lakes to Naira, but I do it, not very often. I do more Belmont to Finger Lakes. That's usually a better result.
And that is a potent move.
Yeah. And but generally speaking, the horses are where they're at and where they run. But I do not afraid to load them in the trailer and move them if I need to.
So. How many horses do you have based here?
I only got 6 stalls here, but I kept the majority of my horses down at Belmont with my assistant down there.
So you'll kind of cycle.
We switch them around.
Yeah. Where are you based here?
I'm over in my oldest boy's barn, 85, over in the annex across the road. It's nice over there.
Yeah, it's nice quiet over there. Yeah, very good. Yeah. And for years and years, people have talked about horses coming up here at Saratoga. Really appreciate the atmosphere. True?
Yeah. No, it's true. My horses thrive over there in that barn. It's really, really nice.
And humans appreciate the atmosphere as well. You like Saratoga.
Oh, yeah.
Always fun. And there's a little more of a social aspect as well. So the day gets a little bit longer at Saratoga for a trainer?
Not for me. No, it's I don't do a lot of training here. My guy down at Belmont, he does the bulk of the work.
Yeah.
You know, he just puts him on the trailer and sends him up here when the races are coming up. So it works out okay.
Yeah, very good. And again, you have the two sons who Jeremiah and Jeffrey do very well. Also, you have to be proud of the team.
Oh, I'm very proud of them. Yeah.
And I imagine, because I've seen you and your wife in the stands before, I had Humberto Chavez here yesterday talking about the jockey basketball game. As I say, I've seen you in the stands. Is Jeremiah playing, and I assume you'll be there rooting. And I said to Humberto, thankfully, in the few times I played, I scored my one basket and I retired. Uh-huh. But in the few times I played, I was on the same team as Jeremiah because I don't want to be the opposite team. He's a space eater in the middle.
Yeah, he was that way in high school. But we had a pretty smart coach that always had him clog in the middle of the paint. So, no, I don't know if he's playing this year or not. I haven't talked to him about it. He's starting to get where it's getting harder for him.
Yeah. No, I know that feeling. I'm still playing a little bit, but in the over 50 group now, and I'm maybe aging out of that one as well. Chris, really appreciate the visit because, as I say, I know a lot of Capital LTV customers enjoy Finger Lakes, and I always like to kind of introduce people to the names they see in the program. So we appreciate your stopping by today. Wish you good luck this afternoon and the rest of the meet and at the Finger Lakes as well.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Chris Engelhardt. All right, we'll wrap it up for this Friday morning, Racing Across America. Great racing this afternoon. And again, I think the weather's going to wind up to be very nice here today. A little warm, but I think sunny and nice with the Amsterdam as the feature. Don't forget Clubhouse Racebook today, the Trifecta Challenge Bounty Bet returns. Play the late pick five at Saratoga with your Capital OTV bet account. Fan Appreciation Day at the Partners Pub in the Johnstown Gloversville area. Tomorrow at the Racebook, the Play the Board contest. And Sunday, it's the double promo day. But don't forget also, entries open today, about noontime on the website for the Sunday show pool. All right, Seth Merrill for Racing Across America. We'll wrap it up on this Friday morning. Don't forget, we'll be back in tomorrow, Saturday, 9 a.m. with the Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. with Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTV TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTV live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTV TV. OTV TV on Roku. Try it now.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTV.com.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.